Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to Jump in Tucson. You're listening to the Engagement Hour. I am your host, Ted Maxwell, and behind the glass, as always, Matt Neely, keeping us on time and on target. So hopefully you stayed with us after Wake Up Tucson this morning with Christy Simone. We had a vigorous conversation about the RTA the last hour, but we also teed up this segment a little bit with talking about both the Common Sense Institute and their recent report on homelessness in the community. Yesterday at the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, we held a event for about 40 community members of the community from the nonprofit world, from the business community, from education. Several elected officials also attended, and we talked about the situation with homelessness in Arizona and how it's changing. The three Common Sense Institute reports dealt with the amount of money we spend on homelessness now, and shockingly, it's about $44,000 per each of the 14,000 homeless folks we have in the state of Arizona. Ironically, the data showed that we had 14,000 back in 2007. We dipped down significantly, but since the pandemic in about 2018, we've been climbing, and we're back up to 14,000. And if you do that math, 44,000, there's 167 different organizations that deal with trying to serve the homeless community. And you do that math, it's about $1 billion a year. So there's a lot of money that we spend on trying to address this problem. And with all truthfulness, most of the reports, most of the focus, most of the discussion, our panel had Dr. Dan Ranieri from La Frontera on it. It had Josh Jacobson with the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And it had Julie Katzel, who's the Common Sense Institute's fellow. She's in the Jim Colby Fellowship Program. And for the last year, she's been looking at the homelessness issue and helping guide the research. And then she just put out a report yesterday that takes a look at talking about changing the homeless ecosystem and trying to figure out how we can be more efficient and effective on dealing with that. But I'll tell you, all the research we see out there and all we talk about a lot, and I think Matt would confirm this, is not homelessness. It's the homelessness we see. It's the homelessness that's visible, that's on the streets. It's the homelessness that's dealing with fentanyl, dealing with drug addiction, that tends to have get involved and engaged in a lot of the petty crimes and the distractions to businesses. One of the folks works with Meals to Go. She is a nonprofit leader, was at this meeting yesterday, and she said, I thanked her for being there, and she said, well, it's important to me because she serves that community. Yet she had to put $21,000 of fencing around her facility to keep it from getting vandalized. And she goes, that's a lot of meals. So that's a piece of the segment of the homelessness situation that we know we have to address. It's apparent to us and we go. But there's another segment of the community that we may not be quite as engaged with, and that's the youth and the impact on those who are trying as young men and women growing up, quite often, you know, freshmen in high school or below, who are trying just to get their high school degree, trying to make better of themselves in their life. And today I'm very honored to have with me Elizabeth Slater. She's the CEO of the Youth on Their Own, which is an incredible organization. Both my wife and I are big supporters of this organization. But the thing that's about is it you work directly with Elizabeth, with those youth we're talking about. The youth that is not so obvious when we talk about homelessness issues.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about this.
I appreciate you being with me, and I told you, I'm sure this hour is going to fly. So do you just want to talk real quick, because I do want to get into your story. But can you talk a little bit about that segment of the community that you work with?
Yes, and I'm really glad that you made a distinction. It's youth homelessness is often referred to as an invisible problem because most youth experiencing homelessness are not literally homeless on the street or living in a car. Most of them are couch hopping. And so there are people sort of temporarily letting them stay on their couch for a few weeks, then they hop to the next house, then they hop to the next house. And so it's a lot less visible. But we know that homelessness is a cycle and you can easily get trapped there. Many adults experiencing homelessness were youth experiencing homelessness. And so Youth on Their Own attempts to work with youth right at that critical moment in high school where getting a high school diploma can really decide the trajectory of what happens next in their life. Will they continue to remain in poverty? Will they continue to experience homelessness as an adult? Or will education be the tool that takes them out of that cycle and gives them more opportunity for jobs, for continuing their education? And it's, you know, in this state, only about half the youth experiencing homelessness will graduate high school without any assistance. And we're thrilled to say that in Pima County, youth who are enrolled in Youth on Their Own graduate at a rate of 86%, which is very, very high for youth experiencing homelessness. So we know that with the right interventions, we can help youth stay on that track, really commit to their future, finish high school, and plan for what's next, even if they are on their own without a family, without parents looking out for them, and really learning at a very young age how to do this on their own.
And one of the things about this program is about how people get involved in the community. We call it the Civic Engagement Hour. It's about people giving back. We want you to vote and be an educated and informed voter. We see the obvious folks that support the community. You see the firefighters, the first responders, those in the military. Our elected officials have stepped out and gone out there to represent people, whether they're on boards like school boards where they're not getting compensated or in elected positions. But we also push the idea that you can get engaged by helping your community through nonprofit organizations. And I encourage people to do that by hearing the stories of folks. So you've set the table for the discussion on Youth on Their Own, and we will definitely get into what you're doing with that. But I want to learn a little bit about Elizabeth Slater. How did you... You know, what's your background growing up? How did you come to Tucson? And more importantly, how did you get involved in doing community service for your living?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I will say, as a young adult, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I had a very transformative experience as an AmeriCorps member. And for any listeners not familiar, AmeriCorps is often referred to as the Domestic Peace Corps. And I joined, and for 2 years, I did full-time community service with middle school and high school youth in Philadelphia and in Boston.
And what age was that at, roughly?
I was, I guess, early 20s.
Okay, so you finished your schooling, and you did go back to school on the East Coast.
Yes, I went to school for nonprofit administration, and I think I knew I wanted to do something to help the world, you know. But
you knew at a young age.
Yeah, I did know.
And did you grow up back east? Is that where you grew up?
My family grew up all across the country, and we lived in Tucson for a little while when I was growing up, but we also lived in California. We lived on the East Coast. We lived in Chicago. So a lot of moving around, seeing different parts of the country.
Okay, so you were full-time with AmeriCorps.
Yeah, and at some point I figured out that I wanted to, it was such a transformative experience for me, and I felt like I was making such a difference. I get motivated by milestone goals, and I just decided I'm going to do a decade of service for my country. So I actually worked for AmeriCorps for 10 years, 2 years as an AmeriCorps member, and then 8 as a staff person. And I, through that experience, got to move across the country. I learned a lot about how to run organizations, how to work in partnership with community, how to connect with young people and support them. And it really just set the stage for me. I started volunteering quite a lot with youth in foster care, especially teen girls in foster care. And I think the connection for me with Youth on Their Own, one thing is that my family had a youth on her own staying with my aunt and my cousins. She was one of the cousins in my family, but she was... in that situation, and I was a kid, so I really didn't know what that meant, but she didn't have a family, and she came and lived with my family. And she just became part of us, and it was, I think about her a lot, and now that I see, this year we're gonna serve 1,800 teens in Pima County in that situation, just looking for someone who's willing to temporarily kind of step in and help them. And it made a huge difference in her life and within my own family. And I think I just want to try to give these youth a chance, because they really want a future. They're on their own through no fault of their own. It's not something they did that created the situation. And so whatever we can do to step in and try to help them, I think that's what connected me to the mission of the organization.
Now, was that that young woman that came and lived with your family, was that through an organized program like YODO, or was that just something that your family found out about and lent a helping hand?
It wasn't through an organized program. In fact, there's no other program like YODO anywhere in the country, which we hope we can change in the future because there is such a need. But this is just what youth homelessness looks like. I mean, when a teen is on their own, when they get kicked out of the house, when their parents, something happens when their parent is unable to care for them. If they're 16, you know, 15, 16, 17, often they are just out there. They're crashing with a friend for a little while. Maybe a teacher or guidance counselor is looking out for them temporarily. If they're not involved in foster care, they're probably just hopping around, staying at a friend's house. And that's one of the reasons why at YODO, we try to get youth to school, because school is where they eat meals. School's where they have adults who care about them. School's where they have friends around, where they can say, hey, could I stay with you for a little while? It's where they access a lot of resources. So in addition to helping them get a diploma and support their future, it also can really help them in the immediate sense of having shelter over their head for a night, even if it's temporary, even if it's just for a week or a few days.
Well, that's a great place to take a break here, because I love the story about you were really, I think, attracted to the nonprofit world by the actions of your parents. And so many of the people who I've interviewed, when it comes to how they got involved in civic engagement, it was because of the example they were set by their parents, families, or somebody else close to them. So I really appreciate you sharing that. That's the voice of Elizabeth Slater, the Chief Executive Officer of Youth on Their Own. And we will be back on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and Jump in Tucson. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell. Matt Neely's again picking out great Springsteen music to open and brighten my day.
Is there any other kind?
Thank you. I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to, Matt. That's great and I truly appreciate it, always. My guest today is Elizabeth Slater, the CEO of Youth on Their Own. I appreciate you sharing your story beforehand. It is really heartwarming quite often to hear how people get engaged and involved. And you knew it at a fairly young age because you did. You got your degree and you were studying nonprofit organizations. You've been involved in several. But what brought you, were you already in Tucson? I think you were, if I look back at it, you were working for the University of Arizona there for a while. What brought you back to Arizona? And then how did you make your way towards Youth on Their Own?
Well, I love Tucson. That's really what brought me back. I was living on the East Coast and I just was thinking about where I really felt connected to the community, where I wanted to put roots down. And I just got in my car and I drove here. This is the place that I've always loved the most of all the places I've ever lived. And I just started over here. I didn't know anyone as an adult. I lived here as a child. So
how old were you when you lived here?
I was in middle school.
Okay. So that's a formative age.
Yes, definitely.
There's no doubt.
So I just started jumping in and volunteering, which is how I orient to every community I've ever lived in. And I joined the Junior League, so I was volunteering at a ton of organizations. I started volunteering at Youth on Their Own right away because I knew about the mission and I knew that I was, you know, really interested in what they were doing. So I was actually a volunteer with YODO for several years before I joined the staff as the CEO, which was great. It gave me a good opportunity to learn the ins and outs of the organization and to have a good sense of how it operated. I served on the board for a little while. So it was a really a great experience and a really natural way to connect to the organization when I first got here.
Well, let's talk specifically about the organization itself, what what's the youth that you're targeting? Who are you trying to get? How do people get in touch with you? How do you find them? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the statement on your LinkedIn profile, a couch is not a home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we serve youth who are on their own without the support of their parents and are experiencing homelessness in a broad sense, meaning they could be literally homeless and need immediate shelter. They could also be staying with some non-parent adult that's letting them stay with them for an undetermined amount of time. They're usually all responsible for providing all their own basic needs. So they really have to provide their own food, their own shampoo, deodorant, anything they need. And our mission is to help them finish high school, because that is very uncommon for youth experiencing homelessness to finish high school. It's very hard to do when you're a teen on your own. And the ways that we do that, we really offer three services. The first thing is that we give a financial incentive to staying in school, because the top reason that a teen experiencing homelessness will drop out is to work. They just need to earn money to provide all these things for themselves that they would be getting from a parent. So we give them a stipend. We pay them a stipend every month. The more days they go to school, the more money they earn from us. And so that's what youth tell us is the top thing that keeps them enrolled in school. And to us, that's the most important thing we can do. They're at school. They have trained adults who are there to help them. we and I mentioned all the other resources they get on a school campus. But in addition to the stipend, we also provide all their basic needs for free. So while they're in Yodo, they can get free food, free hygiene supplies, free school supplies, a laptop, a bicycle, whatever the thing is that might be a barrier to them attending school, we can provide it for them. And then the third piece is very important, and that's the guidance element, because you can't just throw money at an issue and think that it'll resolve itself. So we have a fantastic staff of program coordinators that work directly with youth. We have a couple of social work interns as well that work with us to help youth that have more extreme levels of need. And that combination of services together is really the magic potion that is so successful and helps youth stay in school in this county, far exceeding the norms for youth in this situation who don't have a support like Yodo. So that's the kind of way we approach working with them. And as I mentioned, this year we'll expect to serve last year we served over 1,600 youth. We think we could hit 1,800 this year. The need has been increasing, so we have been seeing our enrollment increase each year for the past few years.
I want to touch on one of the points you just brought up there, because I think it's significant. I believe you've just recently changed in the last year the rules about the stipend, mm-hmm. and it used to be based on grades, I believe, and mm-hmm. now you've changed it to attendance.
Yes.
And encouraging, rewarding attendance. And what are you finding now since you've made that change? How's it impacting the success rate or the students that are under your program?
Well, I'll tell you, they are going to school a lot more. And all the data, we made that change for two reasons. One was our liaisons at each school. We work in over 100 schools where our youth go to school, and each school has a Yodo liaison. That's usually the guidance counselor or social worker. They were telling us that we should make some changes to our program model. One of the things was moving to attendance-based, but they made some other great suggestions that we also implemented. But we also worked with an evaluation firm that did an evaluation of our whole program and said, hey, you're incentivizing the wrong thing. Grades aren't what's going to tell you if a youth is going to graduate. The number one indicator for whether they will graduate is whether their butt is in a seat in a classroom. So why don't you put the money there and incentivize attendance? And we saw our attendance rate jump when we made that change. And we saw our graduation rate increase as well. So we know that that is making a difference. And school isn't just about learning. That's the most important thing. But I can't say this enough, all the resources available on a school campus, that's where we want youth to go, because they have trained educators who can offer tutoring. They can eat their meals there. They can get connected to services. If they aren't going to school, they miss out on all those opportunities. So that was a big, big change we made, and it has been very positive.
And I'm betting you will find out, and I don't know if you track this, is their grades are probably going up actually by attending class.
Yeah, we ask them to self-report their grades, so we still get some grade information. So we know, and you do have to have passing grades to even move forward and move toward graduation. So of course it correlates, and going to school more does help them achieve better grades as well.
So real quick, if somebody's interested in supporting Yodo, where can they find more information?
Our website is yodo.org, yoto.org, and we need a lot of help. So I'm glad you asked that. Yeah. We are a homegrown Tucson charity. We don't receive any federal funding at all. Most of our funding is private, and we need a lot of support and donations from the community.
So that's the voice of Elizabeth Slater, the CEO of Youth on Their Own, the one and only program nationwide that focuses on the homeless youth who we often don't think about. So appreciate it, and we'll be back after the break. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the engagement hour. Matt Neely's behind the glass, again, keeping me on time and target. And I'm Ted Maxwell, your host. Today, my guest is Elizabeth Slater, the CEO of Youth on Their Own. We've had a great discussion so far, Elizabeth, talking about it. And I want to really emphasize the success of your programs. A lot of, you know, a lot of times in the nonprofit world, it's hard to kind of demonstrate your success. But when you take a look at what you've been able to accomplish, and your team and your staff, your volunteers, your donors, everybody else that plays in it, the high school graduation rate, and this is coming off the Making Action Possible dashboard, high school graduation rate in Arizona is 77.3%. That's the lowest graduation rate amongst 10 Western states that the dashboard compares it to. But it even gets worse for us here in Pima County, because when we come down to Pima County, we have the lowest county high school graduation rate in the state, and it's at 71.3%. But last year you had 1,600 youth on your own.
Yes.
Youths.
Mm-hmm.
Just using your 86% graduation rate, you graduated almost 1,400 of those students. So here are youth that many of them probably work. Many of them who have the challenges of knowing the couch they're sleeping on today may not be the one they're on tomorrow. And you pointed out that these are youths that are not just experienced as the homeless, but they're also separated from their parents for some reason. You know,
that's right.
For either by need, by choice, by not choice. They're on their own, thus the name. And you're able to graduate 86% of them, 15% above the county average. And that's truly amazing. How do you get the word to these folks? Because there's probably a lot more than 1,800 out there, but how do they know about youth on their own?
Well, we've been around for almost 40 years. So I will say, something that works in our favor is that a lot of the school staff know who we are. And I'd say about half of the youth in Yodo get referred to us from a professional at their school, from their guidance counselor, a social worker, a teacher, someone who notices something's going on with them and learns about their situation, refers them to us. And then the other half get referred by their peers. So they might just have a friend who says, hey, I went through something similar and I think Yodo could help you. The thing that I wish every adult in our county could know is that you probably know a youth who would qualify for Yodo right now, even if you think you don't, even if your kids go to Catalina Foothills. I promise you, you know some young person who is on their own, who was kicked out of their house because of their identity or their family's just dealing with the effects of poverty or, I don't know, drug use or immigration issues. There are a lot of reasons why youth end up on their own. And I think I wish, you know, when we talk about youth homelessness as an invisible issue, an invisible crisis, a lot of adults don't realize that they probably know a young person they could tell about Yodo and that young person could be getting a little bit more help. So I hope anyone listening, that's a big takeaway.
Well, speaking of listening, one thing because we don't advertise for it, we don't try to encourage it, but we do have listeners out there that like to call in and ask a question. So I'm going to go real quick to Paul. He may have a question for you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. I'm wondering why you do not get funds from the United Way. You know, all of my workers are almost forced into United Way. And it seems like you should be getting some of their money. Can you explain why you do not?
And Paul, I think that's a great question. So we know that there's individual donors that support you, but do you have any organizations such as United Way that are also out there and helping you?
Yes, we do. And actually, United Way does support youth on their own. And they were hugely supportive of us, especially during COVID. They had a lot of special grant programs. So they're one of our partners. And so that's a great example of an organization that does facilitate individual gifts out into nonprofit organizations. So we do appreciate our partnership with United Way. That's a great question. And there are a lot of other organizations in town that do support us as well. Some of them are other organizations that facilitate individual gifts, like Angel Charity or 100 Plus Women Who Care. There are a lot of these type of giving circles where they bring together individual gifts and then make bigger donations to nonprofits. Angel Charity was hugely supportive for Yodo, recently gave us a big grant to help renovate our new property. And so we're so grateful to them. And then we have some foundation giving too that comes from local family foundations. And then we have a couple of larger foundations that give us funds as well.
And that is a great example of how helping and getting involved in community foundations and organizations can lead to significant impact in our community. but you'll always be willing to have other individuals step up and other organizations. There's never really enough to address this. And you've done a great job, I think, of showing that for this group of people, that extra funding that they can receive, as well as the goods, supplies, everything else you've got, but it makes a huge difference for them because maybe they don't have to work as much outside of school.
Yes, actually, thank you for saying it that way, because most of the youth in our program who are old enough to have jobs also have jobs. I mean, what they're getting from us is not enough to sustain them fully. So they go to school, they're in Yodo, and they work in addition to that. And that is just how they're making it work. They're learning a lot of lessons very early.
So I'd like to share a story which was shared in the book she wrote. Elizabeth Carmillo Gutierrez wrote a book titled My Side of the River. It was actually featured at last year's Festival of Books. I saw you there when she gave her panel discussion on that as well. We were there listening to it. And it's truly an amazing story in and of its own. But it also, I think, demonstrates the difference between that youth we don't see and some of the challenges they face when they're living either, but without their parents. And sometimes their parents aren't even in the region. So great book. Do you want to kind of highlight some of the things that she shares in her story that are kind of what a lot of these youth are experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth is a fantastic person. She went through Yodo in high school, and she was separated from her parents due to an immigration related reason. And I will say there are a lot of youth in Yodo or a cohort of youth in Yodo who also experience some separation from their parents due to immigration, which means their parents are living in another country, but they're U.S. citizens and they're living here and they're attending high school. And for a variety of reasons, sometimes it's because high school isn't free in other countries, but it is here. So they might go to middle school and live with their family in Mexico. But then when it's time to go to high school, they'll come to the U.S. because they want to continue their education and they can't afford to do it somewhere else where they have to pay to go to high school. In Elizabeth's case, she had a wonderful family, and her parents had to leave the United States. And she stayed. She's a U.S. citizen. She stayed and she went to school here. And she talks, her book is fantastic, My Side of the River, so I really recommend reading it. But she experienced a lot of hardship and just the pain, the trauma of being separated from your family. It is significant. And then all of the kind of realities that you have to face in terms of how hard it is to support yourself. It's a beautiful book and she's a great writer. And she's just one example of a youth who went through Yodo. We were just one thing in her life. You know, we're not the reason she is who she is. We had the opportunity to be part of her life for this brief period and support her on her journey. And now she's like a change maker in the world. She is doing so much amazing stuff. And I think the book itself just really highlights what that process can look like and what it takes inside a person to get through that. So it's really beautiful. I recommend anyone grab it. My Side of the River. It's great.
And it shows a lot. What I was found very telling about is there's a lot of people that want to help, especially for somebody like she experienced quite often, you know, either sleeping on folks' couches that were helped. Occasionally there was a room or sharing a room with. But it's always a challenge. And sometimes people are going to do everything they can, but at some point something else gets in the way. And now, at that point, the youth that's part of the program has to find another place to go. So it's not as simple as just saying you've got a family that's going to take you from here to the end. And
yes,
all these individuals are incredibly motivated.
They've got to be, because what you're saying is that there's the daily experience of all the barriers they feel. And most of their, even if they have a family they are staying with, what you're saying is right. It's not stable. It might be, our goal at Yodo is to make it as stable as possible. So maybe if they have a little bit of money they can contribute, or they can bring food home because we're providing food, that could make it possible for them to stay there a little bit longer. And just increasing that stability is going to increase their chance of continuing to go to schools consistently, you know, staying on track to graduate and really building something that for their future.
You mentioned earlier the importance of guidance as they go through this process. And there's guidance, you know, that they can receive it with the navigators at Youth on their own, but you've also got the role of the public guidance counselors as well. But one piece that I think is impressive about Youth on their own is the development. It mm-hmm. doesn't stop there. I mean, the development of YODO students and then the development of YODO graduates, they actually, quite a few of them come back and play part of giving back to the community that helped them get through this time.
Yes, they do. Yeah. So, well, one thing I want to mention is that your life isn't magically better because you got a high school diploma. So Youth on their Own continues to develop our youth after through an alumni program that we have. So up to age 25, they can stay enrolled in YODO, still continue to get guidance from us, get all their basic needs met, and then plan for what's next if they're working on a resume, interview prep, stuff like that. But then we have youth on our staff who were in YODO and came back to work for us, which is amazing. And we have several YODO graduates serving on our board of directors. And that's important for us, not only because we want to have youth voice represented in our decision making, their perspective really, really matters. But it's also because the youth graduating from YODO, they are the leaders in our community. If I'm like walking around anywhere in town with my YODO name tag on, I mean, I'll have five people come up to me and say, "Oh, I was in YODO, and now I run this car wash," you know, or they're in the government. They're everywhere. They're leading here in Tucson. So we really believe in staying connected with them and trying to support their development into adulthood. And we love when they come back and continue to contribute to the organization.
And I think that's an important aspect of the staff and the role you've played in YODO to emphasize that development. It's not just, it's the development of the YODO alumni, but it's also the development of your staff. The whole attitude around that organization seems like it's one of progress and moving forward for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. I would say we are very committed to improvement at all times. So just thinking about how we can keep growing and keep improving the services we provide, keep investing in the people that are here at YODO working on this mission with us, and then how to keep being the best organization we can be for all the over 5,000 people that donate to us every year. We have huge support from this community, and we want to be a very good organization for all those folks believing in us.
And being a good steward of people's funds mm-hmm. is the best way to ensure you get more funds coming forward.
Absolutely.
So the fact that you're doing that and showing the results, 86% high school graduation rate of these youth who have a lot more obstacles in front of them than the rest of the county. So that's an amazing number. And when we come back, Elizabeth, what I'd like to go on to is let's talk a little bit more about how people can get engaged, how they can help. And if we've got enough time, maybe we'll broach the subject of how are you going to help this expand nationwide.
Oh, exciting. Thanks.
Anytime. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell. You're listening to Tape 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. I hesitated there a little bit because that is my favorite Bruce Springsteen song right there. It's kind of a long one ballad, but it shows a lot of what I think Springsteen's talents are. So enough about Bruce Springsteen. Let's get back to youth on their own. First off, thank you everybody for listening today. Tune in tomorrow morning with Christy Simone on Wake Up Tucson. And then after that, come get a little food for thought on Jump in Tucson with Grant Kruger. So Elizabeth, and I'm speaking with Elizabeth Slater, the CEO of Youth on Their Own. This time has flown by. But we need to make sure we talk about how can the people listening who have heard the story about the success Youth on Their Own is happening and the fact that there's still more you can do, how can they get engaged and help out?
I think there are just so many ways to make a difference in this community. We're so lucky. And it really depends on how much time people have. I mean, I have a compulsion to make my life matter. So I really volunteer in so many ways. But you don't have to do that. Any amount of time you have available is a way that you can help a young person. A few of the ways that I know that are really excellent, obviously Youth on Their Own needs volunteers. We have one-time volunteer opportunities that you can find on our website, which is yodo.org. We have regular volunteer shifts. You could hold a supply drive at your workplace for shampoo or period products, and then you could come and bring them to Yodo and package everything up there for our youth. There's a lot of ways to do that, and we'd love to talk to you about it. But I think, you know, beyond Yodo, I would really encourage folks to think about opportunities like serving on the Foster Care Review Board, which is one day a month where you serve on a citizens review board to oversee cases of youth in foster care, make sure that they're getting the supports that they need. There's also opportunities to serve as a court-appointed special advocate, a CASA, for youth in foster care. And these are slightly different populations than the youth that Yodo serves, but they're really the same youth. Just some of them happen to be in the foster care system and some of them don't. And all of those are different time commitments and different types of activities, because I think volunteers need to know whether they want to have direct contact with young people. Are they happy just serving in the background and coordinating services that eventually benefit young people? So ask a lot of questions when you're thinking about volunteering and make sure that it's the right fit for you, not just for the time that you have available, but the type of work that you want to do, the type of impact you want to make, and the connection that you want to have directly to the mission.
And I appreciate you bringing up foster care. It's a huge factor in all communities. And it is. It's a different clientele in a lot of cases. But just so everybody understands, Elizabeth also walks the walk. She's still involved in helping the foster care programs with the review board and others. Time, talent, treasure. We always talk about that. You hear it all the time. You talked a lot right now about the time. Mm-hmm. You know, are there any specific skill sets you're looking for on the talent side? And then we'll close with the treasure.
If you have talent to give to a nonprofit, I just want to really recommend that you join a board of directors. We all need, every single nonprofit in this community needs a board that oversees their work. And the work of nonprofit boards really depends. If you're a small organization, you might be a really hands-on working board. If you're a larger organization, you might be more of an oversight board. But if you've got skills and you want to be at the table, we need you. And that can be any organization. Yodo has a board application available on our website to the public. You can apply there. But every nonprofit organization has a board. And I would say that's the best way to use your talents, no matter what they are. If you're great at marketing, if you have a marketing background, if you're a fundraiser, if you're a banker and you can help us with finances, guess what? Every nonprofit needs you. So there are a lot of different ways that you can use your specific skills to help an organization, and I would highly recommend board service.
And finally, with the treasure, always willing to take donations for people who have listened to this and are important. One last time, the Yodo website where they can donate.
Yodo.org, and we will gladly take your donations anytime. Thank you. We really need the support of this community. I appreciate it.
Elizabeth, I appreciate you being on the show today. Great conversation. We'll have you back sometime in the future to kind of get an update on your drive to make it not just Tucson, but to get other communities doing the great work you're doing. Thank you very much.
Can't wait. Thank you.
You've been listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Thank you, Matt Neely, and I look forward to having all of you listen next week on Jump in Tucson. Have a great week.